This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Congressional Democrats are planning to seek billions in federal broadband spending next year to boost access in rural areas, affordability, and funding for school computers. House Democrats have already passed, as part of a pandemic relief, $4 billion in emergency aid to help financially strapped families stay online, where President Joe Biden has endorsed universal broadband. Data is key to ending the digital divide for students, farmers, doctors, and consumers. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst, on behalf of the American Farm Bureau, told ag lawmakers this earlier this year.
Farming has changed. We used to think that we just grew corn and soybeans. Now we generate data, trillions of bits, all containing information that can make us more efficient, economical, and can reduce our environmental impact.
Hurst says while most Americans take broadband for granted, more than a quarter of rural Americans lack access compared to only about 2% of urban Americans. And then there's the homework gap described by many lawmakers.
It's students and individuals in their homes that just do not have the connectivity, and that's a huge problem.
You know, you have kids doing their homework in parking lots. That's just not right.
I have kids who I represent, families I represent, school teachers I represent, who cannot access internet at home. Teachers who, when school was still in session, were having to drive to parking lots to be able to conduct the school lessons.
President Trump, back in 2018, signed an executive order to speed federal permitting of rural broadband towers, including on federal land. And the House this year included $24 billion in its HEROES Act to improve broadband mapping, and billions more in subsidies for households, students, schools, and libraries. Senate Republicans proposed their own bill instead, and talks on a compromise broke down. While agency spending bills are still in focus as the government funding deadline approaches December 11th. In other news from Washington, outgoing House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson has concerns regarding President-elect Joe Biden's transition as it relates to agriculture. In a letter to the General Services Administration, the Minnesota Democrat says, quote, "I write to express my concerns about the impacts to farmers, ranchers, and consumers from the lack of a timely presidential transition process. While the delayed transition is now underway, the impacts of the delay persist." Specific issues mentioned by Peterson include the Department of Agriculture's ongoing work with the meat and poultry plants amid the COVID pandemic, along with the risk of African swine fever entering the United States from China. Other issues include outbreaks of high pathogenic avian influenza across Europe and Asia, and a shortage of CO2 production impacting meatpacking plants. Peterson states, quote, "Dedicated civil service staff in the USDA Office of Homeland Security and throughout the department are monitoring these and other crucial situations, but it will take a high-level leadership and the ability to muster funding to address them." And stay tuned. More WSMI Ag News on Turkey Day coming up next. And we're back here on your Thursday afternoon Thanksgiving Day Ag Show. And moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, ag economists at the U of I have been looking through the historical crop insurance data. That data shows that since 1989, farmers in Illinois, and for that matter across the country, overwhelmingly chose to use crop insurance as a risk management tool, according to Illinois Extension ag economist Gary Schnittke.
Crop insurance is extensively used. It's used on over 85% of the acres for corn and soybeans in Illinois. That which is planted is insured. And the single most popular crop insurance product is RP.
RP stands for Revenue Protection and is just one in a series of federal government-backed crop insurance choices that a farmer can make.
What they like about RP is probably two things: the guarantee price increase associated with RP, and they prefer farm-level coverage to any sort of county-level products.
Schnittke also says it'll be interesting to see if farmers choose to include any of the new add-on crop insurance products that are coming out in 2021. And as for the right crop insurance product, he says RP is the right move.
That's a good decision. RP is a very good product. It provides excellent protection, and migrating to that makes perfect sense.
Corn and soybean farmers will make their 2021 growing season crop insurance choices come March. This year, that choice will include the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO. It works like SCO, but is not subject to the ARC and PLC decision. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News now for your Thanksgiving Day. Randy DeSutter, a farmer from Woodhull, has been elected president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association for the upcoming year at their reorganizational meeting, which was held on Tuesday following the organization's annual meeting. DeSutter has served on the ICGA board for 8 years, most recently as the vice president. He will continue his role as the District 3 director for the duration of his term as president, serving members in Henderson, Henry, Knox, Mercer, Rock Island, and Warren County. Joining DeSutter in the leadership roles are Vice President Marty Moore of Jacksonville, Treasurer Sarah Hastings of Sydney, and Secretary Kate Danner of Aledo. The Exports Committee will be led by Chairman Dave Rylander of Victoria and Vice Chairman Matt Rush of Fairfield. Elected to lead the Industrial Committee were Terry Smith of Clayton and Vice Chairman Keith Sanders of Vandalia. Grassroots Committee leadership for the upcoming year are Chairman Bill Lee of Minock and Vice Chairman Garrett Hawkins of Waterloo. Two directors were re-elected and will continue in their positions as directors. They're Keith Sanders for District 11 and Garrett Hawkins for District 14. Re-elected at-large directors include Kate Danner of Aledo and Dave Rylander of Victoria. Three newly elected directors include Ellen Ron of Mount Carroll, serving corn farmers in District 2, Jason Bunting of Emerson, serving corn farmers in District 5, and Mike Shane of East Peoria, serving corn farmers in District 8. Moving on now to news from the U of I Extension. Andrew Holsinger, horticulture educator serving Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was honored by the U of I Extension for his innovative use of technology to expand programmatic reach. Holsinger received the Excellence in Technology Award in recognition for his video production work, including the addition of closed captioning to video uploads on the Horticulture YouTube channel. He has been instrumental in introducing various technology platforms to the horticulture team during the transition to remote work. Holsinger provides horticulture education for gardeners of all ages and skill levels. He offers expertise in pruning techniques, plant identification, fruit trees, and using technology methods for teaching. Additionally, he is responsible for offering leadership to the training and educational needs of the Master Gardener program in the 4-county area. Also in news from the U of I Extension, District 18, Ashley Bell, the environmental and energy stewardship educator that serves Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was recognized for her dedicated and impactful work with the Extension. Bell received the Excellence in Program Evaluation Award from the U of I Extension. That award recognizes overall excellence in ensuring evaluation of Extension programs to primarily determine the impact of the program on participants, as well as determining program improvement. Continuous evaluation of her programs has allowed Bell to develop and deliver high-impact educational programming to accommodate diverse audiences. By tailoring programming needs to local communities, her programs have experienced continual growth over the last 3 years. Bell's program evaluations reveal that through positive changes in the knowledge and behavior of participants, long-term measurable outcomes are being recognized. Bell's current Extension role focuses on the environmental energy stewardship. She has been extremely successful in demonstrating the value of her programs to stakeholders in the area. Her partnership with the CEFS Economic Opportunity Corporation, which works to increase energy efficiency engagement in underserved communities, was recognized as an Ameren Illinois Energy Innovator Award. Ashley works out of the Christian County Extension Office in Taylorville. And now moving on to the latest news from the IDNR, Illinois hunters took home more than 47,000 deer during the first weekend of firearm deer season. After a weekend of pretty nice weather, State Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Rachel Torbert says hunters harvested a preliminary total of 47,147 deer.
Now that's compared with 50,173 from last year. So we're a little lower, but when you look at any number of factors, including weather, the number of crops in the ground, things like that, we're still looking good. And of course, we'll see what the second firearm season brings.
That season runs from December 3rd through the 6th, and there are other deer hunting opportunities in Illinois as well. The archery deer season lasts until January 17th, and muzzleloader-only hunting season will be held December 11th, 12th, and 13th. Illinois counties with the largest harvest over the last weekend included Randolph, Jackson, Fulton, Jefferson, and Hancock County. And that'll conclude Ag News on this Thanksgiving afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. Also, don't forget to check out our new Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. So again, for this Thanksgiving afternoon, Thursday, November 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.